So even just for a moment, as we again still try to kind of paint the foundation for what will be Isaiah chapter 55 this morning, even as you turn your scripture to that place, I want us to ponder the idea that we were orphans. Every single one of us were orphans. We were babes without a home. We were people who had no purpose and no place. And in just the right moment, we understand that Jesus Christ paid the price for us. And so that when we receive that free gift, we're no longer orphans. But not only did we become fairly special in the kingdom of God, we became God's treasured possession. And did you know that even this morning, as we fight among sometimes who is the best in the kingdom of God, we see a picture even in the New Testament where disciples were doing the same thing. And we had moms asking, can my child be your favorite? Can my child be your best friend, your most precious possession? And the response is, people are my treasured possession. And I would say that to make it a little bit more personal this morning, you are God's treasured possession. And now, even to kind of lay the framework this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something I don't normally ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to even say out loud, I am God's treasured possession. Go ahead. I am
God's treasured possession.
Some of you do that fairly well. You understand. You know. But in a group like this, there's also no question that some of us come in and we don't feel that. We don't understand that. We don't grasp that we are God's treasured possession. Last week, we began kind of a series of great invitations. And we looked at Noah and the invitation to life that Noah got. And this morning, we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 55. And with great invitations, I was trying to think through that idea of invitation. And I came to the word inviting. Inviting. You might say that this is an inviting place. The word inviting really has two significant meanings. This is an inviting place. And that idea that it's inviting means that it's a place where you feel like you can go and you can feel welcome and be a part. Or you might say that I have been invited, or this is an inviting place for me to go, as in Adam's house is inviting. And that meaning would be, I've been invited to be a part of what's going on at Adam's place. There's a special thing going on at Adam's place, and we're going to be a part of that. In the kingdom of God, really both scenarios are true. When you think about heaven, when you think about the kingdom of God, it is an inviting place. It's a special place, and it is drawing people to itself. I mean, God is drawing, inviting people to himself. But not only is it a special place, it's a place that we should want to go. And so when I think about the number of people in Lubbock, Texas alone, because my brain cannot fathom the entire world, but when I think about Lubbock, Texas alone, and the thousands and tens, if not 100,000 people who aren't in church this morning because it is neither inviting or inviting, it baffles my mind. And so this morning, we're going to see something, I think, a little bit different. A little bit different in that the invitation is not to some rigorous life. The invitation is to the celebration of life. Just to give quick background again, in Isaiah chapter 55, I'm not smart enough to put all these things together until I study it, but I should have done a series on 53, 54, 55, but not until I started studying chapter 55 did I realize if I was smart, I could have done 53, 54, and 55, because it shows a picture of Jesus, and it shows Jesus telling us how to expand the tent, and then we see the celebration of life. So I'm not going to be able to do all of that for you this morning because it's just too long and you'll only give me an hour and a half. I understand, okay? But we'll try to work through this together. When we think about the idea of guilt and sin and the problem that we have, Isaiah chapter 54 after 53 gives us this idea of blessing. Now, just in case you need a reminder, remember that Isaiah 53 is kind of that picture, not kind of, it's the picture of Jesus, that he was bruised for our transgressions and that our iniquity was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. And many times we like to kind of quote that verse as we are healed physically. And while God heals physically, ultimately Isaiah 53, when we see the blood on Jesus, what we're talking about is spiritual healing. And then in chapter 54, we see this idea of expand the tent, make great the way, make our portion bigger. And William Carey, really the father of modern missions, preached from this Isaiah chapter 54 verse. And he's talking, when he preached this passage, he was talking about expand our mission until all the peoples of the world have heard the gospel. And I want you to know that today it is still true that all the peoples of the world are to hear the gospel. So I want to just for framework, I'm going to read Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, and then we're going to read together Isaiah chapter 55. You don't have to turn to Isaiah 54 if turning one page is too much for you this morning. I understand. But I'm going to read that, and then we're going to read chapter 55 together. Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Hold nothing back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess the nations, and will people of the desolate cities. And so the idea is for us to expand, to be a part of the expansion of the kingdom. And I want to assure you this morning that God's kingdom is full, but not full, right? I mean, it's got millions of people in it, but there's always room for more. And William Carey preached this message in a missional idea of, hey, we have responsibility to proclaim the gospel message. And when I say that, sometimes that sounds burdensome. And so, if it's burdensome for you this morning, you're going to love Isaiah chapter 55. Because Isaiah chapter 55 really gives us a picture of something that's not burdensome, but really a celebration. And so if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 55, I'll be reading out of Holman Christian Standard. We'll have it behind us on the screen. The whole passage, I believe, is also in your notes. You can follow along, but we're going to read together. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you without money, come, buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the promises assured to David. God, we pray just the blessings and the reading of your word. God, I pray you'd help teach us this morning. Help us to understand our invitation, the inviting place of the kingdom. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. And so I just want to be reminded that there are too many times where we seek to kind of find contentment in our stuff, in our possessions, in our jobs, in our relationships, and our pursuits. And when we don't find contentment, we pursue those things even more. And what we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 55 is that our pursuits will never provide contentment. We can only find full satisfaction in Christ and Christ alone. The very first imperative that we see in this scripture is that God invites his people to come. I know that there is a lot of talk these days on who is invited to come. Maybe even our culturally, we kind of have played judge and jury, and we thought that some people ought to be able to come and there are others who should not be able to come. Maybe you think that a particular religion shouldn't be able to come, or maybe you think if someone's done a particular thing that they shouldn't be able to come. The scripture in Isaiah chapter 55 clearly gives us an indication. Come. Who? Everyone. Everyone. Now, In case you misunderstand me and you think that I said that all religions get to go to heaven, that's not at all what I was saying. What I'm saying is those who are religious and those who are other of other religions are still invited to come to Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone is the only way to experience the kingdom of God and what we see in the scripture. In verse 1, we see that God offers the right provision. The right provision. You know that God always knows what we need? God has never failed in providing what we need. I think there are times where we have some wants and we have some desires and we feel like God hasn't always hit those particular marks. And guess what? Sometimes God doesn't hit our want mark because we don't need what we want. But God gives us what we need. He gives us what we need. And here's, it's gonna feel real shaky over the next few minutes. Real shaky over the next few minutes. Because what does God provide? He provides water, he provides milk, and he provides whatever else is on that scripture. I know it's hard. Wine. And I think that there's something that we can pull out of the scripture. This is a symbolic gesture, but also something that we should take to heart. When I look at the first verse and we see that God provides provision, the first thing we see is that God provides water. Water is an immediate need. It is an immediate need of refreshment. When you are thirsty, when you are desperate, your most basic need is water. You need something to refresh you. When we are at our most needy, God at just the right time not only provided water, but he provided what? Living water. And so when you come into this place this morning and you feel like you're parched and you feel like you need something to drink, God is providing water. Goes on to say that God also provides milk. So when you have been parched and you've been provided living water, then you look for something else, maybe even to sustain you or to grow you. Even as a babe continues to receive milk, that idea that God provides milk is that idea that God is continuing to grow us and that we can grow day by day. He invites you not only to come alive with water, refreshment and water, but he wants to grow us with continuing milk. And then it goes even further. And some of us are like, where are you going to go with this one, Pastor? I'm not certain. Well, I'm just going to go with where I believe the scripture goes here. And the scripture uses the word wine. I know that makes us a little uncomfortable sometimes this morning, but when you think about wine, what do you think of? We only think of it in a negative sense, but when you think about wine, wine doesn't refresh you. Maybe wine doesn't even grow you, but wine is symbolically that idea of celebration. Here's the thing. God not only wants to refresh us, he not only wants us to grow in him, but God wants us to celebrate him. God wants us to enjoy him. Some of you didn't like that one too much. You don't like the idea of enjoying God. You think of God as a distant God, and you think of a God who's a judging God, and you only look at God as God, don't hurt me, but trust me when I say this, as we read the scripture in its entirety, God wants his people to enjoy him. I'm asking you. I mean, we're in this together this morning. Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy him? Or perhaps maybe you've been refreshed by living water. Remember, living water, he tells us in John chapter 4, he tells the woman at the well, you'll have this living water and you'll never be thirsty again. But some of us, we don't grasp that. So we keep going back to the same water hole and we're saying, God, refresh me. And God's saying, I have refreshed you. I've given you living water. You keep coming back. You need to grow. And then in our growth, we have this kind of this adventurous spirit. We kind of set that to the side, and the idea of growing is arduous and legalistic, and there's no fun in growing. We don't when we're growing, it's not fun. We're just doing what we're supposed to. People, Christians, are to take the next step, and they are to enjoy the Father. They are to enjoy the Lord. We've been given life to be exhilarating. You know that there is, how many of you are breathing right now? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're breathing. Some of you are not breathing, apparently. Did you know that if you are breathing, that there is still that inner child that inner excitement, that inner space that's ready to burst out, no matter how stoic, unemotional, phlegmatic, laid back, or poker-faced we may seem, there's a child of God in every single one of us. And again, I'm not saying walk out the doors and do whatever you want to. Be disobedient like a child. But what I'm saying is, sometimes people don't love Christianity because they only see the come alive and grow part. Like the school. Like we're in school. And not many of us want to go back to school. Trust me when I tell you, the reason that they gave water, milk, and wine is because it serves a purpose in every believer's life. We are to come alive. We are to grow, and we are to enjoy. And here's what's great. Here's what's great. What we see in this passage in Isaiah chapter 55, he says, come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters, and you without money, come, buy, and eat. You mean Christianity? You don't have to make a certain sum of money? You don't have to be a certain status to be a believer? Because sometimes that's what we as the church kind of portray. If you have a certain status or you're a certain symbolic area, then you are welcome. God tells us that everyone is welcome. And here's the price. The price is free. Now, over the past few years and events that I have done and opportunities that I've had, I can think of a few areas where people, they didn't care what it was. If it was free, they wanted it. If you've walked the July 4th parade with us before, we had a float, and we're handing out dum-dum suckers. You know those suckers, those little dum-dum suckers? I mean, like, you take one suck, and you take a bite and done, right? You know those suckers. We are throwing them out in the thousands of people that are on the July 4th parade, and adults are kicking kids out of the way so they can get that free sucker. We want what is free sometimes. Maybe it's not quite as funny, but in Nicaragua, those people, there are some who receive free beans and rice, and they'll lie to get more because they want what is free. I ponder this question to you this morning. If we'll go after, you wouldn't, I know, but if we'll go after little suckers that are free, why in the world would we not celebrate the things of God that are free? It is the right price. The world, by the way, just very quickly, makes you pay for everything. Everything. Religion will make you labor for every blessing you think you're going to receive. Religion will do that. Now, I'm not saying religion in and of itself is bad, but religion is where we kind of make our box and decide this is how God will be. We're going to box that in. I want you to know that God has freed us. And we are a religious people. But when we start talking about our steps to get to the kingdom, we want to make everybody pay the same price. Oh, you want to be a believer? Here are the 9 steps you have to complete to be a believer. And what we see in the scripture is, how are we to be a believer? Accept. Follow. Those who have trusted in Christ are now followers or believers in Christ. Sin, the flesh, and the world, they'll make you pay dearly for any promise of contentment. And we know that that is an unending task because the world will never provide contentment. Never. The price is free for contentment, and God offers it to every single one of us. What does it cost us? If you're saying that there's nothing free, there's some currency involved. The currency is faith. It's faith. Putting our trust in Jesus. God invites his people to come. Then we see in the next verse that God invites his people to listen. He is commanding it. Hey, listen to me. You ever been frustrated because you know that you had something that would help someone else, and they are so mismanaged in their mind, they couldn't even for a moment understand how that could be helpful? I think sometimes maybe that's how God could be with us. I am providing you everything. I'm giving you my love. It's unconditional. Why do you keep putting conditions on it? Why do you let other people tell you there are conditions on my love? It's free, and I'm giving it to you. And then in that verse, when he's talking about, listen, in verse 2, he tells us that he's providing for the hungry. He's providing food for the spiritually hungry. And then there is something significant here, right? I think maybe you've probably already asked this question. You're wondering if I'm ever going to get here. But we just heard in verse 1 that it's free. And then God says, come and buy. How in the world, if it's free, are we going to buy? Well, here's the thing. It's free for us. It's been bought. We get to go shop at a place where the bill's already been paid. We just sang it. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and made me washed whiter than snow. Oh, praise the one who paid the debt. We celebrate the fact that we have been invited to come, to listen, and to buy what we never earned. And that doesn't play well in American culture, does it? Some of you right now are thinking, well, it does now. Listen, I'm saying overall, in our American culture, the idea is we've got to work for everything we have. And maybe that works politically, but it does not work spiritually. It does not work spiritually. Because we'll work all day trying to earn God's love, and it's already been purchased for us. Remember last week we talked about, and Noah, the idea of the tent and the covering, and that being atonement. We are covered completely. There is no cleaning that off of us. We are covered completely. We are offered to come and buy what costs us nothing, but it's no price for us, but that price has already been paid. In John chapter 6, it says this, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. It's John chapter 6, verse 51. Not only did we see in John chapter 4, if we drink the living water, we'll never be thirsty again. But when we take the bread of life in John chapter 6, we're never going to be spiritually hungry again. What do we have to pay for that? Nothing. It's been paid for. What's our currency? It's faith. God is zealous. He is zealous about offering water, milk, wine, and food so that we can enjoy Him, so that we can be satisfied, so that we can understand His riches. And in that, God offers His people compassion. We've seen that play out in this last verse. For those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, God has provided for. But not only do we see God's compassion, but we also see that He is providing contentment. God offers His people contentment. I wish that this was kind of a small Bible study this morning, and that I could give you 3 or 4 minutes to think about areas of your life that you have not been content in. And then be able to ask you, if you're not content in those particular areas of your life, have you given those areas of your life over to the Lord? I don't have that time. But you can certainly write that down. Maybe share that with your spouse. You know it's okay to talk about spiritual things with your spouse after church, or even with your children, and to process these things. Go back and read Isaiah chapter 55 and 53 and 54. And together we see that God is providing contentment. Are you content? And if your contentment is failing, where is it failing? I'm not an English major by any stretch. I know a couple of you in here are, so I'm not going to look at you in the eye, but I see some imperatives in here. I mean, The way we read this passage, I see a lot, like more than 10 in these three verses. The first couple are listen, and then the rest of them are come, buy, eat, enjoy. Come, buy, eat, enjoy. We got to come. We get to buy. Buy with what? Nothing. It's been given to us. Eat. We're going to be satisfied in partaking of the Lord, and then we're going to enjoy Him. But I want us to just, again, if I miss an imperative, you English teachers, see me next year. So, chapter 55 again. Here we are. Come, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and you without money. Come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the promises assured to David. So when we see an imperative, when we read an imperative, it's not a suggestion. So as a believer, and we want to walk with the Lord, and we want to see God do great things, an imperative is definitely different than a declaration. It's the idea of do these things. And by the way, none of these things were like legalistic. None of these things were burdensome. It's like enjoy. Oh, I don't want to enjoy this. Hate enjoyment. Enjoy just doesn't work for me. Drink of this great drink. I'm not thirsty. And I only drink when I'm thirsty. Eat. I only eat when... Oh, that's not going anywhere. I only eat when I'm hungry. But we've been invited to enjoy God. And then what we see, last point, verse 3, pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. Are you living? I know that sounds almost philosophical. I mean, and trust me when I say this, in the philosophical world, I am lower than the lowest. Philosophy just isn't my gig. But I'm asking you a question, and it seems philosophical, and it's really not. It's very pragmatic. Are you living? Not just breathing, because remember, God has given us every single breath. But are you living out your spiritual life? Or is there still something missing? What I think we see is, in this passage, is there is somewhat a progression. Come, buy, eat, enjoy. All of us are in probably one of these progressions. If you are distant from God this morning, come, draw near to Him. You need to buy. If you've drawn near in recent days and you don't sense that God has provided that life, it's time to buy. If you've made a transaction and where you bought, it's time to eat. And if you've eaten, Psalm 37:4, remember, tells us to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And we like to kind of read that verse and say, oh, okay, if I just love God more, He's going to give me everything I desire. No, draw near to the Lord, and God will change your wanter. He's going to change every... I know you English people, I made that word up. Paul made words up in the Scripture. I'm making words up, okay? But God will change our desires. God is not just something to be studied. He is a person to be enjoyed. If you only study, it would be like, again, I used this illustration some years ago, this idea of me getting together, let's even talk about with my girls and saying, girls, I want you to clean your room. And if we're only studying, it's the idea of the girls responding to me, okay, Dad, we're gonna see how a vacuum works, and we're gonna study what dusting needs to be done, and we're going to take some samples of the air, and we're going to project where dirty clothes should be, but we're not going to clean our room. That's kind of how we are sometimes in the Christian life. We study, and we never put into practice. We never enjoy. God offers people his life. I want to read the last verse, and then we'll be done, because I think these two things are absolutely crucial to the three verses. Pay attention to me and come to me. Listen so that you will live. And most of us like to stop there, and we're thinking, this has been really great. But the reason we have these things are the B side of verse 3. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the promises assured to David. So God offers his people covenant. What is that covenant? That promise that God will never relax on. When God makes you a promise, when God makes us a promise, like in eternal life, God will never withdraw that idea. And then I know that some of us, we're really studied in the Old Testament, and sometimes maybe we don't find Jesus in the Old Testament. And again, that's kind of improper study. We see Jesus in Genesis chapter 3 for sure. We saw him last week in the story of Noah, and we see Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53. And that idea of covenant and the line of David is speaking about Jesus. Jesus is in the line of David. And so even in Isaiah chapter 55, we see the picture of Jesus. The entire covenant that God makes with his people involves Jesus. And for that, we celebrate. We celebrate because God has offered us something for free that's absolutely priceless, and that we could have never, ever gotten on our own. What does all this mean this morning? It means that as a believer, it's time for us to take the next step in the Lord. If you're just feeling on parts all the time and you feel like you're drinking of that water, maybe it's time for you to grow. Or maybe if you're growing, it's time for you to celebrate. Maybe if you're celebrating, it's time for you to enjoy. In our Christian life, God ultimately wants us to enjoy him as he enjoys us. But I have a sneaking suspicion as well that there are those in here who've never, ever had the opportunity to enjoy the Lord. They've never put their faith and their trust in Christ. And this morning, the way to do that is admit that you've done wrong. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so this morning, I believe that our invitation is doing the same thing. Come. Come. Not to me, but to the Lord. And every single one of us, whether we are a believer or not, are still being invited to the inviting place. Come, enjoy the Lord. If you've never received Jesus, I'd love to be able to share with you how to do that. If you need to spend some time here at the altar with your family, I invite you to do that. Enjoy the Lord together. If this morning you're saying, I want to make this our home, what we see is that in this particular passage, Jesus talking about buying, sometimes we are in situations where we don't go all in. And when we don't go all in, guess what happens? There's some contentment that also doesn't go all in. Maybe it's time for some of us to say, you know what? I'm tired of playing around. I want to go all in. I want to enjoy the things of God. However the Holy Spirit is leading. We're going to sing a couple of songs together. Throughout the entire singing, it's appropriate for you to use this altar as a place of prayer, maybe even declare your faith. However the Holy Spirit is leading, we invite you to come. Lord, this morning we're thankful for the privilege of knowing you, the opportunity that we have to celebrate you and to enjoy you. But even now, I pray for those who may have never had a drink from living water, have never put their faith in you. God, I pray that today would be the day. So God, we take this time to respond, to repent. God, we ask for you to intervene. However we need to respond this morning, God, we pray that you would give us the heart to do that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand together over the next few moments. Would you pray? Would you come to this altar? Would you come declaring your faith, even joining this church? However Holy Spirit is leading you, you come as we sing together.
Sing with me. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
And 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know the set of